I would like us to draw our attention to a special prayer, as it is not refer, doesn't refer to healing or life, and it was not a request for bread. We shall be referring to the prophet Daniel and his lifted talk with his Creator, and that this particular prayer is recorded in Daniel chapter 9 and verses 16 to 18. But initially, we would first like to go and do a brief historical account of actually what had transpired. King Jehoiakim became a servant of the Babylonian king, but according to the record in 2 Kings chapter 24 and 1, after a period of about 3 years, Jehoiakim turned and rebelled against the Babylonian king, and as a result of his actions, the Babylonian armies appeared in Jerusalem. And Daniel states in Daniel chapter 1 and verse 1 to 3, in the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, came to Jerusalem and besieged it. The Lord gave Jehoiakim, the king of Judah, into his hand, along with some of the vessels of the house of God. He brought them to the land of Shinar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasury of his God. Verse 3, then the king ordered Aspenaz, the chief of his officials, to bring in some of the sons of Israel, including some of the royal family and of the nobles. The vessels from Solomon's temple, together with some of the youth of Israel from the tribe of Judah, were also taken to Babylon, and this included Daniel and three of his companions. We think that Daniel, at the time of the Babylonian captivity, was about a youth of 16 years of age, and the year was about 625 BC. We would like to stress that it is not the time of the complete desolation, as the temple was still standing, and the majority of the nation resided in Judea. After the death of the king, his son Jehoiakim took power for 3 months, and that was when the Babylonian king appeared near the walls of Jerusalem. All the remaining treasures of the temple, and some of the royal family and the nobles, numbering a few thousand, were resettled to Babylon, and this is shown forth in 2 Kings chapter 24, and verses 13 and 16. In verse 13, he carried out from there all the treasures of the house of the Lord, and the treasures of the king's house, and cut in pieces all the vessels of gold which Solomon, king of Israel, had made in the temple of the Lord, just as the Lord had said. Verse 14, then he led away into exile all Jerusalem, all the captains, and all the mighty men of valor, 10,000 captives, and all the craftsmen and the smiths. None remained except the poorest people of the land. Verse 15, so he led Jehoiakim back away in the exile to Babylon, also the king's mother, the king's wives, and his officials, and the leading men of the land. He led away into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. In verse 16, all the men of valor, 7,000, and the craftsmen, the smiths, 1,000, all strong and fit for war, and these the king of Babylon brought into exile into Babylon. So this was the second stage of the resettlement back into Babylon. The city of Jerusalem still existed at this time in history. We next have the first timeline that shows forth. Zedekiah, the brother of the two preceding kings, really was the last king of Judah. It took 11 years, the 606 BC, during the reign of Zedekiah, that the national pride in Jerusalem, together with the tabernacle, ceased to exist. And this was the third stage, the final resettlement. And it appears that from the time of the first resettlement, when Daniel was taken to the time of the total destruction of Jerusalem, was a total period of about 19 years. Daniel was saved by God from witnessing to see this his city of Jerusalem burning and having its walls destroyed because he was already in Babylon at the time. He lived during the reign of the two great superpowers, as we'd call them today, the Babylonian and the Persian empires. And during his lifetime, a few rulers in the power went, yet Daniel still lived on. This was designed for a very certain purpose. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 2, we read, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the books the number of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah, the prophet, for the completion of the desolation of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. Now let's turn to timeline 2. Let's now turn our attention to the second stage of Daniel's life. There were 3 stages in effect, but this is the second, where we see him as an old man, now whose life is coming to an end, and he now still thinks of his real homeland, the land of Judea. Daniel, during his life in Babylon, did not lose interest about his birthplace. It was constantly in his mind, and about 70 years had passed by since his initial departure from Jerusalem. So we have a picture of a really old man before us. If we do the maths, 16 years plus 19 years and 69 gives you a total of a 100-year-old man at that time. You see, Daniel was a Berean of his time, as he studied Bible prophecies. Of course, he did not have such a selection of prophecies as we are privileged to have in today's day and age. The greater prophets before Daniel were Isaiah and Jeremiah. Ezekiel lived at the time of Daniel, and he too was taken into captivity. Zechariah wrote after Daniel, possibly that amongst the vessels of the house of God that were taken from Jerusalem were also some old scrolls, as Daniel refers to the prophet Jeremiah as the source of his information. We read in Jeremiah 29 and verse 10, "For thus says the Lord, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good work to you to bring you back to this place." He also referred to Isaiah's words that were recorded some 80 years earlier. We read in Isaiah chapter 44 and verse 28, "It is I who says of Cyrus, he is my shepherd, and he will perform all my desire. And he declares of Jerusalem, she will be built of the temple, your foundation will be laid." In other words, by studying this prophecy, Daniel was able to find 2 important pieces of information. He found out how long the captivity of Jerusalem would last, and he also found out the name of the ruler. Daniel knew that nearly 70 years would be needed from the desolation of Judea. He saw Cyrus, and who at the time, according to history, had not really fully come into full power, yet he was the ruler in a Babylonian province that was under the control of Darius. It was after the death of Darius that Cyrus became the sole ruler and was authorized to issue decrees. This information convinced Daniel that on the basis of prophecies and in accordance with the fulfilled facts, he waited for God in some way to fulfill that prophecy that was stating that Jerusalem and the temple would be rebuilt. That is why Daniel directs this most beautiful prayer to God. Let's have a look at it. It's in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 3. "So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek him by prayer and supplication, with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Is man able to show greater repentance or humility than this way? He denied his fleshly nourishment. He clothed himself with sackcloth and covered himself with ashes." The outward show was to reveal the state of his inner repentance. We read in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 16, "O Lord, in accordance with all your righteous acts, let now your anger and your wrath turn away from your city of Jerusalem, your holy mountain. For because of your sins and the iniquities of your fathers, Jerusalem and your people have become a reproach to all those around us." In Daniel 9 and 17 we read, "So now, our God, listen to the prayer of your servant and to his supplications, and for your sake, O Lord, let your face shine on your desolate sanctuary." Verse 18 reads, "O my God, incline your ear and hear. Open your eyes and see our desolations and the city which is called by your name. We are not presenting our supplications before you on account of any merits of our own, but on account of your great compassion." With what lovely words of a 100-year-old man turning to God we have before us. Not that God should really open his ears and his eyes. I mean, God well knew the situation that was prevailing in Jerusalem. But the prophet asked that God would look with his kind eyes, so that his countenance would be radiant, from the color of wrath to the gentle countenance on this nation. In Daniel chapter 9, verse 20, we read, "Now while I was speaking and praying and confessing my sin and the sin of my people Israel, and presenting my supplication before the Lord, my God, in behalf of the holy mountain of my God," in verse 21, "while I was still speaking in prayer, then the man Gabriel, whom I had seen in the vision previously, came to me in my extreme weariness and the time of the evening offering." God's messenger appeared as the angel Gabriel, who informed Daniel that his petition had been heard and that God had noted his prayer. The angel states in chapter 9, verse 22, "He gave me instruction and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I now come forth to give you insight with understanding." Verse 23, "At the beginning of your supplications the command was issued, and I have come to tell you, for you are highly esteemed, so give heed to the message and gain understanding of the vision." In the spoken words to Daniel through the mediator Gabriel, we find that there is a hidden mystery pertaining to Daniel's prayer. Daniel received a commandment from God, "You are highly esteemed." It was really a summary of Daniel's long life. Who would not want to hear such wonderful words at the end of their earthly lives as Daniel had received? You see, Daniel was the first to receive a vision about which no previous revelation had ever been given. Daniel was the first to be informed of the exact time of our Lord's first advent. When we look through the Old Testament prophecies that refer to our Lord's first advent, they all refer to the character of his coming. You see, although the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah 53 gives many facts pertaining to the sufferings of our Lord Jesus, the prophet Malachi prophesied about Bethlehem in Judea as the place of our Lord's birth. The prophet Zechariah in Zechariah 11 and 12 prophesied about the 30 pieces of silver as payment that Judas was to receive for betraying the Lord. Just let's read Zechariah 11 and 12. "I said to them, if it is good in your sight, give me my wages, if not, never mind. So they weighed out 30 shekels of silver as my wages." Although other prophets referred to the facts of his coming, Daniel was given the privilege to see far more. Before Gabriel gave the vision of 70 weeks, he gave Daniel a certain warning. He was giving heed to the message and gaining understanding of the vision. The vision Daniel received was really not easy for him to comprehend. So let's then have a look at this vision of Daniel. And in this vision, Daniel received certain information. When it is applied to certain events, it gives us a particular picture. This vision talks of 70 weeks. In other words, 490 days or 490 years. It is essential to find out exactly when the period of 490 was to start. A close examination of the words spoken by Gabriel provides us an answer to our question. In Daniel chapter 9 and verse 25 we read, "So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with plaza and moat, even the times of distress." Here is a reference to the rebuilding of Jerusalem as a city. When we examine the history pertaining to the return of Israel from captivity, the rebuilding of the nation, we note the decree was to rebuild the city and was given by Cyrus in Ezra chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, in the first year of his reign. Ezra 1 and 1 reads, "Now in the first year of Cyrus, king of Persia, in order to fulfill the words of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah, the Lord stirred up the spirit of Cyrus, king of Persia, so that he sent a proclamation throughout all his kingdom, and also put it in writing, saying, "Thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord, the God of heaven, has given me all the kingdoms of the earth, and he has appointed me to build him a house in Jerusalem, which is in Judah." But this was not a decree to the rebuilding of the city, as it referred specifically to the rebuilding of the temple. The second decree was given by the next king, Artaxerxes, who ordered Ezra to take the gold and silver vessels that enabled to rebuild the first temple in Jerusalem. But there is nothing referring to the rebuilding of the city. This was a time of Ezra's departure from Babylon, as Ezra 7 and 9 brings out. For on the first month he began to go from Babylon, and the first of the fifth month he came to Jerusalem, because the good hand of his God was upon him. The third decree was from King Artaxerxes, and Nehemiah, who lived during that king's reign, requested the king for permission to rebuild Jerusalem. In Nehemiah chapter 2 and verses 1 and 2 we read, "And it came about in the month Nisan, in the 12th year of King Artaxerxes, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave it to the king. Now I had not been sad in his presence. So the king said to me, 'Why is your face sad, though you are sick? This is nothing but sadness of the heart.' Then I was very much afraid." In verse 3, "I said to the king, 'Let the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies desolate, and its gates have been consumed by fire?' Then the king said to me, 'What would you request?' So I prayed to the God of heaven. I said to the king, 'If it please the king, and if it please your servant has found favor before you, send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it.' Then the king said to me, the queen sitting beside him, 'How long will your journey be, and when will you return?' So it pleased the king to send me, and I gave him a definite time." This is the decree pertaining to the rebuilding of the city of Jerusalem. It is the very decree that Daniel received about 83 years earlier, saying the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. The two early decrees refer to the rebuilding of the city's religious life, the city's religious center, the temple services, in other words. And by these words, we are informed of the rebuilding for Judah. The language here is referring to the walls of the city and the gates of the citadel. That is why this moment of life, returning to Judah, was chosen. And so on that basis, we can start the date of Daniel's prophecy as 454 BC, all the traditional chronological dates accepted are by Brother Russell. In our timeline 3, the prophet stressed this period of 70 weeks. In other words, 490 years divided into three segments of time, or three periods of time. We have 7 weeks, plus 62 weeks, and then 1 week. In Daniel 9:25 we read, "So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with plaza, moat, even in the times of distress." The first 7 weeks, or 49 years, are possibly the time dedicated to the rebuilding of the city. The 49 years refer to some specific events that are connected with this, although historically it is not possible to determine the end exactly of the 49 years to a specific date. After 2 and 60 weeks, you see the next 62 weeks refer to extension of the first period of 7 weeks, and combined they equal 62 plus 7 is 69 weeks, or 483 years. This refers to the time of the anointing, and what the Polish Bible, the Gdańska Bible of Poland, states, this is such. Although there are two different words, Messiah and anointed, they are the same. The Hebrew word Messiah means the same as anointed, or a waited for. In other words, 60 weeks, counting from the giving of the decree, takes us right up to the time of the Messiah or the Anointed. Our Lord was anointed by John the Baptist when he was baptized. That was 30 years after his birth, in other words, the autumn of 29 AD. In Daniel 9 and 26, we read, "Then after 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing, and the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will become with a flood. Even to the end, there will be war, desolations determined." After 62 weeks, counting from the giving of the decree, in other words, after 69 weeks, the Messiah was to be killed. Although our verse 26 does not give exactly when after 62 weeks the Messiah was to be killed, we have help from the following verse 27 of Daniel chapter 9. "And he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wing of abominations will come one who will make desolate, even until a complete destruction, one that is a decree, is poured out on the one who makes desolate." The end of the burnt offering and wave offering was in the middle of the last week. This shows the fact that in that very moment, in that week, or in other words, 3.5 years of sacrifices being offered by the priest, it would lose its lawful power. Although the priest still offered sacrifices, you see, their sacrifices were no longer acceptable by the Lord, as the real sacrifice of our Lord Jesus Christ had fulfilled it. Hebrews 9 and 26 is a good scripture to support this. We read, "Otherwise you would have needed to suffer often since the foundation of the world, but now once at the consummation of the ages, he has been manifested to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." So the killing of the Messiah began not only in the last week, but also in the middle of the week. So when counting 3.5 years from autumn AD 29, we come to the summer of 29 AD. Daniel 9:27 states that he will make a firm covenant with the many for 1 week. Here we have a reference to the specific time of grace of 7 years, when the Lord's mission was directed only to the Jews, and this period of time ended by grace it was given to the Gentiles during the time of Cornelius, and that was AD 36. 29 AD, AD 36, you have the 7 year difference. Daniel the Beloved had the privilege to be the only prophet to receive this exact time prophecy referring to the coming of the Messiah. 5 centuries earlier, God gave the Jews information pertaining to the coming of the Messiah. The decree of King Cyrus in Ezra 1 and 1 was the decree that ended 70 years of desolation of the land. On the basis of this decree, a reprieve was given that allowed the residents of Judea and Jerusalem to return to their homeland. The second part of the decree referred to the giving of permission to rebuild the destroyed temple of God in Jerusalem. It appears that Daniel lived to see that moment in history, for which he had waited so patiently for 70 years. We have mentioned that the prophet lived to the 3rd year of Cyrus. So he was a witness when the decree was given by Cyrus. He was also a witness when the many thousands of slaves returned back to Judea, carrying with them the vessels that had been confiscated by the Babylonians earlier from Jerusalem. But due to his advanced age, he was unable to participate in that memorable return back to Jerusalem. So when Daniel is awakened and resurrected, he will really see how that vision of his prophecy was totally fulfilled, and how the foretold by him anointed, the Messiah, had come and fulfilled his task. Daniel will see how the Lord has enlightened his countenance, not only over his tabernacle and his people, but also all of mankind. Amen.